Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Hope you've had a good week. Hope you're getting some nice spring weather wherever you are. Subscribers, thank you so much for supporting us and encouraging us and just being there as a blessing. We appreciate it. Those watching on all the different platforms or listening to the podcast, please consider going to agendaweekly.com and become a subscriber there and get all the different things that we offer each week. It's a great blessing to us, and it'll help you be prepared to defend what you believe and understand the times. Today, I'm going to be doing a lot of different things, but I guess for a title, it's The Coming Collapse with a question mark. I'm going to cover a lot of different things I've observed this week as I was watching the news and reading articles and different things that I think with all that's going on, we're not seeing as clearly as I kind of saw it this week. I'm like, we're heading into some rough waters, even with some good things that are happening, but I'm going to go through some different things here that I think will help you realize the need for us to continue down the road of being prepared, being, you know, independent from the system as much as we can, having local community, local sources to get the things that we need to survive and other things. But anyway, I really appreciate you joining me today. First, I'm going to read a letter from one of the Agenda Weekly subscribers, from Michael. He has a really good point here, and I think he said it a lot better than maybe I've said it in the past. As we're talking about different things, like a week or so ago, Belinda had thought, are you sure these things you're talking about, Pearl Harbor and 9/11, do they really happen the way you think they did and stuff, questioning that? And here's his response, and I thought it was really well put together. Mr. Bowers, after watching, listening to your Agenda Weekly program last PM, I'm even more convinced that the average American is not only ignorant, but lazy as well. And he's going to explain why that is, and he has a really good point here. The information, which is the truth we're talking about, is readily available to those who have enough ambition to seek it. It will never be found on the idiot box, especially Fox News. That's for sure. Fox is terrible because they have a little truth, but not all the truth. And they have the little bit of truth mixed with lies, which is, makes it the worst of all. For anyone to not know the truth concerning Pearl Harbor is inexcusable. Now, those of you that don't know about that, he's talking to you, and it's true. It's an admonition, but to listen to. Here's what he says. The information has been easily available for more than 40 years to anyone who wants to know the truth. And that's the way it is on all these things I'm talking about. So when you go, why? I just don't know about that. Well, you don't know about that because you haven't studied. But the truth is there for those who want to see it and have a hunger for it and are willing to dig in and look for it. Thankfully, it's very easy to find the truth today because there's so many books written on it and documentaries made and everything else. 20, 30 years ago, it was really hard to find the truth because they were covering it so well because they had ABC, NBC, and CBS, and they could just control information. But now with the internet and so many other things, it's really opened things up. But then he says this, as I listen to and watch people all around me, I can't think of any reason why our Lord has allowed this nation to exist this long. It has to be his love for his creation. We are a nation of prideful, arrogant, lazy, and unthankful sinners. Thank you, Michael. I agree with you. And I agree. It's because he's so loving. He's so long-suffering. Again, that's an admonition to those of you that question what we're talking about here. But I do understand there's a point in life when you finally wake up and you start looking and you do want to make sure the things you find are the truth. So I understand that. But anyway, I appreciate that, Michael. Then another letter. This one's a key one. I know a lot of you are probably dealing with this. It's from a sweet lady named Betty. Betty, thank you for your letter. I'm going to read just a little bit of it here. My name is Betty. I'm 73 years old, homeschooled our daughters for 16 years, and she goes into some other details. We have not seen our oldest in over 6 years. My heart is so broken. I feel like a failure. These are not the morals I raised our children with. In my days, I was very naive, very innocent of so many isms, communism, fascism, Marxism, atheism, Freemasonry, and all that had infiltrated our country. And I know that's the story for many of you, because I've met you as I've traveled the country, and you said we lost our kids because we didn't realize the agenda was happening, and they had captured the schools, and they're turning the hearts and minds and souls of our children against us. By the time I watched the agenda, it was too late. Anyway, here's her suggestion. A great need is for specifically designed curricula, a curricula aimed at the birth and truth of all the isms I mentioned. And then she talks about how that needs to be implemented starting in the sixth grade and on into different things. Here's some good news, Betty. There are curriculums like that. Summit Ministries that I work with and my family for 27 summers in Manitou Springs, Colorado, they have an Understanding the Times curriculum. And it's K through 12, so for all the subjects. Also out of Colorado is generations.org. And Kevin Swanson there has an entire curriculum, K through 12, all with a biblical worldview where you understand the times. You understand what the Marxist-Leninist believes. You understand what the New Age pagan believes. You understand what Islam believes. You understand what biblical Christianity stands for. And you can compare all the worldviews, and then it helps you know when you're being told a lie. Or when your professor says something, you realize, oh, he's into New Age paganism, because that's what he believes in this area. So it helps you see the lies and know where they're coming from. But there's lots of good stuff. Also, Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham has tons of just incredible material to help equip you individually, whoever you are, but also your children and grandchildren to understand why we believe what we believe. Why is what is in the Bible, is it true? You do need to know that. But the resources are totally there. And she then goes on, not until I started watching some of Charlie Kirk's videos, I was not aware of the degree of ignorance, downright arrogance, disrespect, and disregard for the sanctity of life in college campuses. They are a cesspool of demonic conditioning. These kids have no clue to what degree their brainwashing is leading their souls astray. I agree, Betty. That's kind of what I'm doing here, is to partly wake up maybe some of the adults and the homeschoolers that are watching. But I agree with you. But college in general is not a good idea, because it's just a brainwashing indoctrination center. I've encouraged all the young people I've ever met over the last 20 years, don't go to college. Start a business, free enterprise. If you don't know how to do it, find a man that is successful in business and apprentice under him. That's what I did, the restaurant business, and then started three award-winning, top-rated restaurants, because I, for 4 years, worked under a man that had the number one rated restaurant in Colorado Springs. And so he taught me everything, and I was ready to do it. That's the future. That's a way to make good income for your family. That's a way to be the boss yourself, as Christians need to be, because we need to be the ones hiring, firing, running businesses the way God intended them to be run, so the world can see the difference. And it's obvious. I had the chance to share the gospel with every single employee that ever came through my fondue restaurants. And they knew me because we worked together every night. So it was very powerful, and several of them did get saved later, which was such a blessing. But anyway, I'm sorry, Betty. I know the heartbreak that is there in that. And I just keep praying. Don't ever stop praying for them. And then try to awaken other kids to the truth. I've got several of these questions that kind of tie into the coming collapse topic, but then I'll get more into that toward the ends. But these are all really important questions that you all ask. Tommy says, first of all, thank you for loving the flock enough to warn us about false teachers and false prophets. I think you are obeying Christ in the letters to the church in Thyatira and Pergamum, which I don't see hardly anyone doing. The main reason I'm writing to you is because of E.M. Pachepa's book, Disinformation. I got it right back there. And he warns about us as far as believing KGB disinformation about 9/11. Have you read the book? Yes. The KGB purposefully wanted U.S. citizens to buy the disinformation that 9/11 was an inside job. That's what Tommy's saying to me. I'm sure they did. They want us to buy anything against our country, but that doesn't mean that everything against our country is KGB disinformation. He is dead wrong, in my opinion, in that, because he's seen things just through the lens of the KGB, because he was an agent, which is understandable, and he knows they're doing a lot of stuff. And yes, we have many communist subversives that have infiltrated our government, but Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld did 9/11. And here's just a little piece of puzzles you learn over time to show you, yes, they're that kind of person, one of them in particular, Donald Rumsfeld. Here's a little history on him so you understand. The main reason you have trouble with 9/11, and I had trouble with 9/11, is like, they couldn't do that. They couldn't kill 3,000 Americans. Well, that's where we're wrong. We were dead wrong. Operation Northwood, we had a video on that several months back. What that was is General Lehman Lemnitzer, kind of a tough name to say, he's the one that approved this plan. And what the plan was, it's unbelievable to me, a proposed plan to discredit the Castro regime and create support for military action against Cuba by orchestrating false flag attacks of terrorism and developing a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area and other Florida cities and even in Washington. So this is Wikipedia, so this isn't some grand conspiracy paper. They even know, yeah, that did happen. They were going to attack. He took that to Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara, who was wicked to the core. But then, of course, John F. Kennedy, when it was brought to him, he's like, no way. We're not going to kill Americans ourselves to justify getting into another war. But here's some of the things that's interesting. Guess who was General Lemnitzer's protege in planning the false flag attack to kill Americans and blame the communists on American soil, 1962? Donald Rumsfeld. I'm just shocked when you find these things. So he's been rotten from the beginning. You're orchestrating a false flag that would allow us to go to war with Cuba, though. So you're going to blow up and kill American citizens to get the war you want so bad. Yeah. And then Rumsfeld, once he got into that position under him, he picked a guy to be his protege. And guess who that was? Dick Cheney. So Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, who orchestrated 9/11, are both traitors, which I've told you that 100 times before. If you dig into them, this is just barely scraping the surface. But the main reason when I say that to those of you that haven't studied, you'd say, no, that can't happen, because you think they can't do that. Back in 1962, they're planning on killing innocent American citizens to get a war they wanted. Pretty unbelievable. After Kennedy refused Operation Northwoods, like I said, Lemnitzer was denied another term as chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And listen to this then. This is how intertwined this deep state cesspool of demonic activity is. In 1975, President Gerald Ford, who was a stooge of all of this too, he became president because he was on the Warren Commission to investigate JFK, and went along to say, yeah, it was a lone gunman. And so they rewarded him by then making him the president. But he appointed Lemnitzer in 75 to the Commission on CIA Activities Within the United States, also known as the Rockefeller Commission, to investigate whether the CIA had committed attacks that violated U.S. laws. The guy that plans false flags to kill Americans. These are all facts we know now from declassified documents. He's the one Gerald Ford puts on the commission. Could you check and see if the CIA has ever done anything that would break U.S. laws? That's how corrupt this thing is. And he was also involved to check out if there was anything inconsistent with the JFK assassination narrative, which, of course, he said, no, all looks great to me. So rotten. Ellen says, I was wondering if you or Mr. McIlvaney had an opinion or information regarding the most recent Texas legislation, the transactional gold and silver bill that they had there. And I would know as much as David would. Next time we have him on, we'll have ask him about that a little bit. But Texans will soon be able to deposit gold or silver into the state's bullion depository and use a debit-style card to spend it. The idea is simple. Let people use money that holds real value. No, it's a great idea. McIlvaney and them have been doing that already for years with their vaulted program. If you go to McIlvaney.com/agenda, you can get more information from them. But they have a vaulted program where you can put your money into gold or silver, either one, however you want it, and then they give you a debit card and you can just spend off of there. So, but your money's staying in real money until you spend it or whatever. But again, so it's happening. But right now, vaulted, you can do it anywhere in the world. It's not just Texas. And but that's something that's been going on a while. She also then said, Ellen said, we have also benefited greatly using McIlvaney Financial Group since you first had him on Agenda Weekly. I'm so glad. I know many of you. I've asked them, did anyone come and buy anything, especially back when silver was $22 an ounce? And they said, you know, lots of Agenda Weekly people came. I was like, I'm so glad. It's great for me to be a blessing to you in some way when you're such a blessing to me. Here's a really sweet one from Suzanne in Australia. Thank you, Curtis. I, too, never miss an episode. Also a subscriber from Western Australia. I do share your information. Thank you so much. I would appreciate when all of you do that. Encourage friends to subscribe. If each one of you could do that faithfully, it would help us so much because you know people that are like you. I don't know your friends. If I did, I'd go talk to them. But you could share a video with them. You could give them a word of encouragement. Why don't you subscribe to this little independent news source? It'll be a blessing to you, but it also helps them. It's, you know, $5 a month. It's not a huge expense. But anyway, that's great. Thank you, Suzanne, for doing that. I did enjoy this week's episode. Love listening to Diana West. I can always pick up on your love for Christ, which pleases me. I'm hoping when time permits, you're able to do another video on Charlie Kirk. Regarding propaganda, we all must stay close to our Heavenly Father and pray for discernment. Absolutely. And we're going to, in the next week or two, do a whole episode on all the known lies with the narrative that's been pushed out on what happened to Charlie Kirk. You continue to bring tears to my eyes as you close each program. I give thanks to God who enables you to continue Agenda Weekly. That really means a lot to me. I really appreciate that. You sound like a sensitive person like I am. I love the truth so much, and I love the Lord, and I'm glad when it comes together to touch you, not only mentally, but emotionally. That's great. A quote I wanted to read to you I came across this week by Whitney Webb is this. Listen to this. It ties into all this stuff we're talking about. If you are opposed to the agenda, you should be opposed regardless who is selling it to you. So true. We're so prone. If the Democrats are telling us the agenda, yeah, those people are no good. But if the agenda is coming from, you know, Republicans pushing the Patriot Act on us or something, oh, that's a good thing. It's the Patriot Act. Who's not for the Patriot Act? It's taking away all our constitutional rights, but who's not for it? Because George W. Bush is pushing it. It's so true. And I just love that she used the word agenda, because I think that's the key word in defining and describing what they're doing. If you are opposed to the agenda, you should be opposed regardless who is selling it to you. That's right. We have to stand up for the principles. So important. Another one of you, Fred, said, seriously, I think you made a very good point last week. On this battlefield, we have to find allies from time to time to help fight the bigger issue. And of course, we will be on the wrong end of things too. No one has a monopoly on the truth. So discernment, I think, is the biggest thing that we need as we try to understand what truth really is and what God wants us to do next. Fortunately, he causes all things to work together for our good. And as Paul said, although some preach the gospel from good motives and others preach from bad motives, by all means, the gospel is preached. God is good and he is powerful. Yes, he is. I think as America is celebrating the 250th anniversary of America, a lot of people are talking about freedom and the American dream and stuff, and oh, it's to own a home and do whatever. And some of that might be part of it. But I was thinking, what is the American dream? And here's what it is, in my opinion. The American dream is freedom to be productive, industrious, diligent, creative, faithful, compassionate, safe, secure, responsible, the freedom to worship God and obey his commandments, and to teach the next generation and model to them what he's asked us to do. That's what I think it is. It's the freedom to do the things God loves us doing. He loves when we're creative. Why? Because he is creative. He loves when we're diligent, we're faithful, when we are displayed all of his attributes. He loves that. When we're loving, kind, humble, compassionate, you know. So anyway, I just want to encourage you all in that. Be thankful for all the rights and freedoms that we still have, but don't ever confuse the freedom we have as if it were something that allows us to do whatever we want. We're only free to do what is right. And of course, the Bible outweighs the Declaration or the Constitution. No one's ever free to sin. No one's ever free to do things that are corrupt and rotten. It doesn't matter what the law says. If the law says you can kill your child, God says, no, you can't. And so we always want to step up to the higher law and be grateful that we know that from the Bible. Now, quickly, just going through a few things as I was thinking about a lot of things I learned this week. It was exposed to, again, about the coming collapse, Economically, you can see crystal clear we're heading toward a collapse. The dollar is being not used by as many people in the world, and it looks like with the Iran war, it's accelerating. And when people don't want the dollar, then the market is flooded with our dollars because the trillions and trillions that our government has printed. And when there's too many of something and nobody wants it, the value of it drops even more. So there'll probably be even higher inflation than we were expecting. Healthcare prices accelerating, which bankrupts people. The job market, AI and robotics are just stepping up this year to start really being influential. They say, I think about 90,000 people this year will lose their job, but it's going to like be doubling, tripling every year from here on out. Here's some interesting things on that. Rory Groves, who's been on here several times, he wrote me, hey, Curtis, I've been watching the AI situation very closely. A sobering book on the topic by one of the earlier pioneers. If anyone builds it, everyone dies. I highly recommend. I haven't read that yet, but it's, I know if Rory recommended it, it's good. You remember our chat about my article at AI a few years back? A concern I highlighted is coming into position this year in the election cycle, and I wanted to draw your attention to it. And he sent me an article on it. What they're doing as safeguards is having computer programs to help make our elections safer that are going to monitor all campaign advertising and kind of, if we type in a candidate, it's going to give us the description of who that candidate is. It's not going to let us be influenced by people that might not be speaking the truth. Sound familiar? We're right now at the beginning stage of total censorship that is coming. Even in America, I mean total censorship. They're just starting to, in Europe, in a serious way, where you actually go into jail if you post something that's not true from their opinion. But anyway, the article went on to explain that. And he says, safeguards are whatever the people running these companies determine is true. Exactly. That's why you have to allow the free flow of information, where the people have the discernment to go, okay, I read this and I read this. I think this is what is right. But when you let the system, which isn't controlled by us, it'll be controlled by the elites, to determine what is true, what is not true, what you can say, what you can't say. We're not at that point where AI is the sole gateway to information, but I foresee that to be inevitable, given the fact our entire society communicates digitally. Yeah. if they just put a little program in the web, it just instantly everything is censored that they want censored. It's pretty sobering, because now that it is all digital information, it's easy to get to. That's why it's good to buy physical books and things where you have them there. They're not being edited or changed on you. That's talking about from an election point of view. But AI is just accelerating in so many different areas. And it's going to just start cutting more and more jobs, which is going to completely disappear the middle class, which has been declining. I think in 1950, 80% of Americans were the middle class. And I'm not sure what it is right now. I saw it, but I can't remember. But it's like 10 or 15%, something like that. They've just been stealing our wealth through printing the money. And the goal is poor people and fewer of them, because they're easy to control. But one other area of economics, again, the AI, here's a little info on what's happening with it if you haven't paid attention. In 2022, AI couldn't do basic arithmetic reliably, just in 2022, 4 years ago. By 2023, it could pass the bar exam. By 24, it could write working software and explain graduate level science. By late 25 last year, some of the best engineers in the world said they had handed over most of their coding work to AI. In February of 26 this year, new models arrived that made everything before them feel like a different era. That's how fast it's changing. By next year, it'll just be a whole new ballgame. And so, again, economically, when all of a sudden you have hundreds of thousands a month of people that are being laid off because their job's been replaced by a program, why would you pay someone when you don't have to? It's going to really accelerate the financial collapse. Also, just I was looking at the numbers on Social Security alone. This year, $1.6 trillion is being spent on Social Security. And that's just going up dramatically because all the baby boomers are retiring now. And so it's just, we're in a mess financially, but we sometimes, I think, forget that when other things might be going well, or we're just busy with life. And then you look politically, I think the two-party system, people are losing interest in it when they realize it doesn't matter who you vote for. A lot of times the same type of things happen. That's a problem when people give up on voting, like it doesn't even matter anymore. Free and fair elections, which we so wanted. So far, the Republicans haven't even passed that, the SAVE Act. I mean, that's the most fundamental thing. 80% of Americans are in total favor of it. And John Thune and the others, no, we're not going to pass it. Well, here's something you have to understand. I've been listening a lot to the Democrats lately talking. And they said, whenever we get back in there, it doesn't matter when it is, the day we get in there, day number one, we are going to make Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. a state. So that'll give them four more senators. And they're going to add four more Supreme Justices to the Supreme Court, up from 9 to 13. So they'll have a fix on that. And I know they will do that. They're not messing around ever again with a Reagan or a Trump, you know, side-railing their plans. So that's why this is so important. Politically, if you just look at things, it's collapsing because people are fed up with it. And the division is beyond repair. The Civil War is the only solution to this problem. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's just the only solution. Because when you have one side wanting to go that way and the other side go exactly the opposite direction, there's no longer compromise. It's you have to eliminate the other side. And I know they'll be willing to do that. It'll be all-out war whenever they do get in there again. I hope it's a long time from now, but whenever they get in there, it'll look like Biden was a Boy Scout going after political people, anyone that opposes them, pro-lifers, everything. It'll accelerate. J6ers, you'll have a death sentence probably for going against the government. Then you look culturally. Pornography is destroying our country. They say about 88% of men are addicted to pornography and about 40% of women, which is hard to even comprehend. I mean, the Hollywood and the music culture is deadly and it's poisoning everybody. The drug culture is so massive right now. Here's something on that that's so important. About 25% of adults today use marijuana semi-regularly. And about 38% of 18 to 25-year-olds, well, here's a little thing I was reading from Eagle Forum. At least 56 scientific studies have confirmed the link between high-potency marijuana and psychosis, including a 2020 study published in the Journal of American Medicine. The study found that using high-potency THC was associated with significant increases in addiction and mental health disorders. Between 30 and 50% of those with cannabis use disorder will later manifest chronic schizophrenia. Even there in Colorado, where it's legalized, a University of Colorado study found that neighborhoods with a single marijuana dispensary experienced significant increases in property crimes, violent crimes, and homelessness. I used to live there. Manitou Springs, where I used to live, where my restaurant is there's 7 pot shops there. And so it's just, it's collapsing our culture, which was written about in the early 30s in A Brave New World by Huxley, saying if we can just get the people into drugs and entertainment, we'll be able to just get them to do whatever we want them to do. And we see that happening as the culture is totally collapsing. You look at demography, 43% of 35 and unders say they don't plan to get married or to have children. 43%. Talk about collapse. When the birth rate collapses, the country collapses 100% of the time, like what's happening in Japan. America's birth rate has declined 23% since 2007. And abortion is decimating the population, especially now with the abortion pill and everything. So you don't even know how many babies are being aborted anymore. You look at food production. The war in Iran, of course, is cutting the supply of fertilizers worldwide. And so you're going to have so many unintended consequences from that war, whether it was the greatest thing ever or not. I already heard a guy talking about a week ago, talking about it in world news. He goes, well, it's already happened, the cutting off that fertilizer. There'll be millions of people dying in Africa for sure, because that's the fertilizer they use. It comes from Iran to grow the food there for the people. And of course, we'll never hear about it. They never let us hear the bad news of that. Like when COVID, the lockdowns, 80 million people worldwide died from the lockdowns. 80 million. Okay, and I brought this up on here before. That's the United Nations number, not mine. And, well, it's just the way life goes. Their number one goal is to cut population. Don't forget that. So whether it's 3,000 people with September 11th or 80 million people with lockdowns, it doesn't matter. And the United Nations was predicting ahead of time. This is key, too. It's not like, oh, we didn't know. 80 million, that's terrible. They were predicting 100 million deaths from the lockdowns right when it started. And I read that on Agenda Weekly back then 6 years ago. And then I waited and followed through a year and a half, 2 years later. And they, oh, it actually was only 80. Isn't that great? The collapse of our constitutional rights, as I was saying earlier, free speech, you will see even in America here, it's going to be disappearing quickly. And as they get a digital ID that you'll have to be on the internet, because they want to protect children from bad content, so everyone's got to just verify who they are to go on the web. It's coming very soon. Once the Dems get back in there too, here's a short clip of them, some of the things they've said over the last couple years of what they're going to do when they get back in there to take the guns.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
When they give us that inch, that bump stock ban, we will take a mile.
You've heard people say, you'll have to pry my gun from my cold, dead hands. Okay.
We have introduced an assault weapons ban.
I'm talking about a ban on assault rifles.
If you listen real close, you can hear the people in power shaking.
It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Enough.
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 We say no more.
I'm the guy that originally wrote the assault weapons ban that became law.
A gentleman just walked up to me in his picture line. He says, I have an AR-15, and I will turn this in if it means saving the lives of our kids. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
Do you think Trump is responsible for what happened? And I said, well, look, I mean, obviously he didn't pull the trigger, but he's certainly been tweeting out the ammunition.
I'm incredibly saddened, and it is very hard to think about this.
I'm tired of hearing people, all they have to offer is thoughts and prayers. In my faith, people say faith without works is dead. So we will find a way. But the reason we have a problem right now is we've let the corporate gun lobby frame this debate. It is time that we have bold actions and a bold agenda.
Over 90% of the American people think we have to get assault weapons off the street, period. And we have to get buybacks and get them out of their basements.
Everyone up here favors an assault weapon ban. Everyone up here favors magazine limitations, which, by the way, would have made a huge difference.
We can ban the weapons of war.
It's about ending the sales of assault weapons into our communities. Those weapons of war were designed to kill people as effectively and as efficiently as possible. They should belong on the battlefield and not in our communities.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
By the way, you can't own the following weapons, period. They cannot be sold anymore.
Like, if you're going to take people's guns away, wait till you get elected, then take the guns away.
They're serious about that. They have to disarm the people at some point, some catastrophe, something to legitimize that, because they know once you get the guns, you got everything. There's no opposition. That's what all the communists always did when they first came to power. Well, you look at median sale prices of homes from 63 to 25, and you're just, it's amazing. Back in 63, an average home price in America is $20,000. You can buy a nice home for $20,000, and today it's about $450,000. That's how they've robbed our wealth. Homes have not gotten more expensive. The dollar has just lost that much of its value. And lastly, you just look at our government and the budgets, and even Trump is asking for next year $1.5 trillion for the military. Here's what's interesting. I went back and looked at what was the budget of the United States government in 2000. And I went back, the entire budget for all the departments, military, Social Security, education, environmental protection, agriculture, you know, it's all the bureaucracies there, was $1.78 trillion. $1.78 trillion in the year 2000. That's for everything. And now, next year, they want a $1.5 trillion budget just for the military, a $1.7 trillion budget just for Social Security, and on it goes. All the bureaucracies, all the unfunded mandates, they're trying to sink the ship, because I think that's why they talked Trump into the Iran war. Whether it has good intentions or not, it doesn't matter. There's always unintended consequences. You do this, this happens. And a lot of times the unintended consequences are much more, they create much bigger problems than the problem you're trying to solve. But the globalists love anything that eliminates human beings. So wars, famines, you know, pandemics, whatever, they love it. Then you have the goal, they have to take America down to have this world government. And so anything they can do to impoverish, to destroy Trump's presidency, he was really starting to turn things around economically And now it's just fallen off the tracks. If you would have just focused on make America great again, worry about Iran some other time. When you'd already bombed all their stuff last summer, and just let them know, if we even think you're doing any kind of things again, we're going to bomb you again, but not start this war. It was so unnecessary, and I think it's going to derail the entire Trump presidency. It's going to allow him to lose the midterms, and it's going to start the old Democrat machine getting ready for 28 to come into power with corrupt elections, and things will really go south. I'm not trying to be discouraging, but I thought through all the things, economically, politically, culturally, demographically, all the different things. I thought all these areas are not looking good, but we're kind of thinking, oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. It's not fine, and it's not going to be fine. I'm just really concerned that we're going to have major unrest in this country. If the inflation goes up like it looks like it's going to continue to go, and different things are going to happen, because I don't know. I just want to encourage you, pray for the best always, but prepare for the worst. All the things we were talking about when Kamala looked like she might get in there, we need to get back in that vein again. I remember the day Trump got elected, I was like, oh, and I kind of stopped all those plans. We've been eating all the food we'd stored up. We did whatever. I mean, we just whatever with all the seeds. Well, it doesn't matter. Everything's happy days are here again. But I realize now, nope. Maybe it's not 26 this year that they get back control. Maybe it's not 28, but it's coming. And they're going to have more and more of a vengeance whenever they get in there to crack the whip at a whole different level as quickly as possible. And that's what they're saying right now. As I listen to them talk about what they want to do, there's a lot going on. A lot of things are going to be changing permanently. I had a great episode several years ago you want to go back and listen to. This week, try to do that. It's called Prepping for 2030. I talk about in that episode some of the things we can be doing to get prepared, because regardless of who wins what election or whatever, things are going to be dramatically different, and they're going to be because of AI and robotics and all the globalist plotting and planning. They're trying to get a world war going. They would love that. Anything to create the chaos that gives them more power, money, and control. And so anyway, I hope you'll go back in your Agenda Weekly dashboard to Prepping for 2030. That would be really valuable right now to kind of get that vision again. Okay, we want to be self-sufficient. We want to be able to take care of ourselves and our neighbors. We want to be connected where we are. We want to detach from the system and then live a quiet and peaceful life, worshiping the Lord, being thankful for all He's blessed you with, but realizing the gravy train might be coming to an end at some point here, but we want to stay away from that as much as possible. I'm sorry if I was kind of running too fast today or whatever. I just had way too much on my mind, which isn't good for me. I'm a kind of a focused person, but I really wanted to encourage you to be preparing like we were before, to be as self-sufficient as we possibly can, because we just don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds the future, and I know He'll be with us. Our verse for this week is 2 Peter 2:17. This is a good one for you, if you're like me, when I hear about the Donald Rumsfelds and they saw a lot of these evil people, they had so many evil plans. I like these type of verses to remind me there is a just God and no one's getting away with anything. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. There is a just God, and the wicked that don't repent before they die, they have the mist of darkness reserved for them forever. And we shouldn't take joy in that. We should still pray they repent and get saved. But there is justice, even though we don't see it a lot in this world. There's complete justice, and there always will be, because God is just. But anyway, I appreciate you greatly. Thank you so much for listening. And until next week, God bless you.